I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross-country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's R-E-E-P-L-A-Y-E-R.com. And I think you'll be amazed.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TEAMPLAYR.US. And come give Team Player a look.
Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This is part two with Juan Martinez with JMS Soccer Academy. And I think what he's doing is absolutely amazing. And I'm going to jump into too much information, but in part one, we kind of start why he's doing it. And this part two is the more of the human side, the networking, what they kind of offer, and how they're going to get things done for these athletes. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
I think parents get caught up on who people know. I think at times the approach you're taking it as you're just seeing the doors open from your creator. And I think parents see it as look at me type of thing. It's funny that on a given day, you probably could drop 15 names. Yeah. And people are like, oh, it's fun. When you're actually having conversations and explaining to people that being on this other side, being a host of a podcast, I've talked to some pretty big names now and realizing that I could easily just pick up my phone and say, hey, I need this, this, and this. How do I get here? And, or how do I get my child here? And at the end of the day, it's not always about that. It is being able to make connections and serve other people like you're talking. And I think that's something that parents need to take a step back and the listeners need to take a step back is that you are trying to make the right connections to help people to get where they need to go. And right. By your experiences that has allowed you. And I think that's something that is missing in our North Texas culture here a great deal because
It's a dog-eat-dog world here in North Texas. I've come to, especially soccer, it's very much a cutthroat industry here. And I don't know if you're not from this area. We have a lot of great talent, but at the same time, we have our own beast of a football community here.
It's very cutthroat. It's very cutthroat. And one of the things that I've seen some players, parents, they come up to me and these are some of the true stories that they've said. If we stay with this club, we're not going to go play for Division I college. And immediately I look and say, okay, which schools do you want? And it'll be USC, it'll be Michigan, it'll be North Carolina. Look, I'm going to text the coach, okay? And they're like, Juan, that's just dumb. That's the dumbest thing here. And then I look at text messages from parents. I had one parent send a text message. I didn't even coach her. I did not coach the player. She was with our club. I was in her coach, but she was a talent. So she went to, she had a visit with North Carolina with Damon and Anson. And I didn't even really know that she was having this because I'm not her coach. But Damon and Anson told the parent, we weren't even going to recruit you until Juan Martinez told us, you have to look at this player. And we stayed around and we're like, so what Juan does, y'all just have no idea. He's going to pick up the phone for any player that he serves. And so most of the time, people don't even know that I'm doing that. That mom sends me a text message and goes, wow, I can't believe you did that for her. So if a player hears, oh, they're not going to go this or they're not going to go pro, I look at it and say, look, I could call the professional coach right now. I could call the scout. I could call whoever. Your talent is your gift. Now, I always tell players, okay, if you have a work ethic that doesn't match that dream, I would not recommend you. Like, I'm telling you now, so when you get to that point, I don't feel bad. If you have an attitude that nobody wants to coach, I'm not sticking my neck out. So that's part of the growth. That's part of the development of a young player. I literally, we have a player today leaving to Mexico U13 national team. So all the players, I had them write letters to her that they're going to give it to her while she's leaving in the airplane. Her parents are going to hand her back with the letters, and the players are more, stay confident, you're talented, I'm proud of you, support, you're representing, all these things. My letter to her was like, enjoy the experience. You're definitely deserving for all your hard work. But then I tell her, I was like, every player I've coached, I always have this question to players that I care about, that I coach. Do you want real talk? I basically say it's real talk. And that means, are you ready for me to give you the brutal truth on your strengths, your weaknesses? And when they know that, man, Coach Juan cares about us more, that's why he's telling us what we need to hear. That's where the magic happens. And again, that's where it's easy for me to pick up the phone, call every coach that I have and say, you're missing out on this player. This player's a difference maker. This player's going somewhere. And when they hear that, they're like, Juan, I don't even need to see her because I know you don't stick out your neck for just anybody. That's where I feel that it's more important when you recommend a player and the coach receives that. Because there's sometimes where a scout, Mexico head coach, U17s would ask me, hey, what do you think about this player? And even if they're in our club, if I don't feel that they have the level, I tell them. And I tell the player, I said, I can't recommend you for this reason. He goes, if you're not technically sound, if you don't use both feet the same, those are fundamental things that you need to master if you're chasing that dream. So again, I think more reputation, more body of work, been doing this for 20 years. It's very sending them proof, documents, whatever. It becomes like, I'm here to serve anybody that entrusts me. And JMS is a program for anybody. You don't have to be playing with any, it's not club-based. It's not club-affiliated. It's individual-based. Whichever club you play for is, are you homeschooled? Do you have big dreams? That's it. Are you disciplined? Do you work hard? We want to partner up and help you reach those. And if we're not the program for you, man, we have no hard feelings. Again, we focus on quality over quantity. And we're trying to grow slowly or stay the same and keep focusing on what we're doing.
How do I describe this? So listening to what you said, and I wrote down a few things. You're talking, putting your neck out there. And I'm going to give, I remember listening to a podcast and Anson Dorson was talking about a group of girls that came through his program. and it was always the freshmen coming in and he, or new students coming in, and he gives them all the things they need to do over the summer. You talk about work ethic and things along that line. And so they, when they take their BEAT test, he asks them, how do you think you did? And they say, oh, we did great. We did great. Where do you see you're going to be? You're going to be this. And he goes, what was your BEAT test score? And he'll give whatever it was. I think it was pretty much. And they didn't qualify to be a starting 11. He asks them why. And he goes, you had everything to get there. And I think that's one thing having these connections make you realize is these people aren't, these, they aren't playing around. And how do you get parents to buy into that? Obviously, you have 11 or 12 parents buying into the system right now of what you're preaching right now and talking about is the commitment level. And I honestly say that it first starts with the parents and the second is the player. The player will always have the commitment levels. The dream is big enough for them.
Right.
It's the parent commitment level and how do you convince them? And from the sounds of it, you have the commitment level. And we've talked briefly about this, your connections and trying to get them to where they need to be in the next, let's say, 5-year plan. Because these kids, you said, are 12, 13, and 14 years old. In 4 years, they could be graduating high school, technically in 3 years. They could be graduating high school and moving on to their next phase, or 3 years, depending on how ambitious they are to finish schooling. What are your goals for JSM Academy to be at to help these next kids next year? And your goal is to have about, I think you said, 20 kids in the program. What is the end goal for these players? And how are you going to start building this program year on year, based on what we've already talked about and moving forward?
Yeah, I want to serve as many kids as possible. Right now, today, I feel 20 is a good number that we can manage with the staff, with the space. But if we grow to 30 or 40, I want to grow as much as we can, but in the right way, for the right reasons. But how we'll look for success is that the game is growing so fast that half of them aren't even finishing high school. They're signing pro contracts. Now, my kids all went to private school. My wife's a school teacher, and people will then say, oh man, education is most important. But that doesn't mean that if you go pro at 15, 16 years old, you don't go to school. You still go to school. It's just an alternative way to go to school. Now the contracts are there. The transfer fees, Phil Avalia from just transferred to Orlando for 1.5. Jaden Shaw, North Carolina, it's 1.2. Jaden Shaw's from here, North Texas. I saw her work ethic. She was a residency program at City Futsal. I know her mom well. She went all in on her dream, okay? And she's living her dream, okay? She committed to UNC, didn't go to UNC, and she's living her dream. So I look at it as success for me is that we have players that are good enough to go pro if it makes sense. That's what they want. Financially, they can still do their schooling. But then the players that are going to go to college, they're getting the full scholarships. They're getting recruited from multiple college programs because of their level of play, because of their character. They bring value to the program from a leadership, from a culture standpoint, because they're coming from JMS. I consistently always tell kids, because this is something that we always told our kids, when you go to school, when you go to play for a team, you're just not representing you. You're representing us, our last name. You're representing your church. You're representing your grandparents. And so wherever they go in there, I'm letting them know is you're representing your parents, but you're representing your club team, whichever club team you play for, you're representing JMS. If you're representing me and you're this, you're not going to get far because I'm not going to vouch for you until this program, kid has moral character skills that elevate the team. I'm not going to do that. So I'm already really focusing on the character building. So my goal is that players that are dreaming to go play pro have those opportunities, get called up to national teams, go to play pro. The players that are graduating here and they go into college and they're going into college being a highly recruited player because of all their strong player in all faces, technical, tactical, physical, mental, and social, and they're leaders. That's how I've envisioned success will look for us.
Do you have a 5-year plan in place or the next year, what's going to look like for players coming in? Because I'll be honest, it's only 5 weeks in, but the school year's going to be over in a blink of an eye here, and you'll be getting ready for next fall. So is there a game plan that you're looking forward to building upon for next year that parents can start looking at or looking for next year?
As far as growth, no, I don't have a game plan for growth. We started the school with 9 players. This was 5 weeks ago. Week 2, we added 1. Last week, we added another player. We started with 10 and we added 2. On Monday, we will have a player that will mirror Shadow for the entire day because they were homeschooled before and it wasn't for them being alone. So more than anything, I always say is I don't have a plan to say, I want to grow this. It's more, I want to grow the right way with the right people. And if I find a staff that fits what we're doing, that's about serving, about developing, about sharing those successes, then I'll bring that staff coach. But that's one of the reasons I put that limit right now to 20. I have probably about 3 other players that are currently homeschool alone, but they're figuring out, can they manage homeschool instead of in-person learning? Are they excelling in turning their work, being motivated? And the parent says, he goes, we're looking at December joining. I said, okay. But I've always said it's more about praying, not my will, not my plans. When I first started coaching, it was just to coach my daughter and my niece. That was in 2005. With 7 little girls, I had no plan of starting a club. I had no plan of prior to that coaching. And because I just worried about the environment, the service, it just kept multiplying. And that's one of the things I want to do with JMS Academy, that if it's word of mouth, somebody looks, come, anybody's is open for an evaluation. If they don't have the level, what we basically say, we would create blocks during the day that they could train, not part of JMS Academy, but part of their training with our coaching staff. So if somebody's like homeschool and they don't have the level to keep up, come get the level and train at 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock when JMS Academy is in class. Come train so you could get your technical foundation up to speed, so you could get your physical endurance. Come train with us if you want to come just on Mondays, if you want to come just on Monday and Wednesdays, if you want to come 3 days out of the week. We'll set those during the day. That's our plan, to grow not JMS Academy, but grow JMS Futuro Next. We call JMS Futuro Next small group training, usually about 6 weeks that the player uses to get whatever skills, learning, work in any phase. So we call those JMS Futuro. So we'll have some at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. So the kids already finished, the JMS Academy kids already finished training, and we're here. And so that's one way that we plan on growing, is by creating JMS Futuro. Now from there, become a feeder into the academy. Okay, you have the discipline that you want to be here 5 days, that you're chasing this dream. We already know you. You're sociably, there's some kids that maybe been homeschooled all their life, and being around other kids, it's much tougher. Those are the kids that we're like, we can't just let them in the academy if the environment's not going to be what we want, the culture not. So from JMS Academy numbers, I don't have a plan. This is how I'm a girl. I'm more leave it to prayer, to praying that if the Lord wants me to grow to 100, he's going to provide the building, the resources, the staff, the vision. But one of the things that I feel now is why I want to keep it individually based is that everybody has a shelf life. So once I stop coaching competitive soccer, I want to have something that I'm able to use all the resources, my talents, gifts to honor God. So that's really my purpose and why the reason for all these programs. I don't want to get to a point where I'm having regrets. Why didn't I use this resource? Why didn't I use this talent? And again, for me, everything is about doing it better and better. So if we do things better and focus on creating a better program, adding a nutritionist, that might bring a couple more families. It's not to grow, but it's just to make our program better.
Do you find that having, maybe I didn't phrase my question correctly with maybe not growing the school, but more of the growth of the program might be the better way of looking at it. The program for next year, are you already figuring out, or is this a evolution process? So because you're not technically a school, you're more of an academy, do you find that you're able to make changes more on and pivot based on what is going on with the players and the things that you're seeing that need to be changed? And do you have a more on the academy side, like it's making sure that you're putting all the pieces in place? Like you said, like you're going to rely on your faith to allow other aspects to grow, but are you seeing different things that you need to improve on, or what's the word I'm looking for, to bring to the next level to allow these athletes to excel?
Yes, definitely. I feel, just in my opinion, is no coach knows it all. And you got to keep on reinventing yourself, keep on learning. And I partner with Ibercup selection and coaching education. So learning from somebody like Luis Diaz that coached Cristiano Ronaldo, bringing those ideas. He came and did a coaching education here in Dallas for us. I then fed the ID clinic for us. So it's always going to these coaches' conventions, symposiums, and always looking, what are they doing? What's Brazil doing? What's Portugal doing? What's England doing? And so it's more of, not everybody knows this, and we challenge each other how this coach sees the game, how I see it, and it becomes, kids aren't being creative anymore. They're not creative because we're making every decision. We're giving them so much information. So it's more of us just getting better to better our program. And again, to pivot, it's my number one rule. I always say, always count on change. So we could be doing this and we end up tweaking one of the days that it becomes, this works better. So we're always continuously trying to get better each day.
I find as a parent looking into this, it's try to figure out how it fits into my kids like place. And I have two kids that play soccer, you know, that I talk about Landon quite a bit. And you know that I have a daughter that's 7 and she is in that lovely phase of trying to figure out her own journey. And it may be soccer, it may be gymnastics, it may be something else. We don't know yet. She's only 7. But as these kids are going through this, how are you? I know you said you have a number limit and that if you have to expand beyond that, you'll find a way to expand beyond that. But at the end of the day, how are you trying to keep these kids, I guess, level-headed? Because at the end of the day, I look at it as a parent. This is my son's dream, is to do what you have. Be an academy like what you have going on. But at the same time, you have to keep these kids grounded. And how are you keeping them grounded at the same time? Because being in the world of soccer and being entrenched in it, these kids, how do you keep them level-headed? You talked early on that you have Mondays like a recovery day, and you talk about the mental side. And Brett Better, I hope I pronounced his last name correctly there, and I know who he is and what he's doing. And how do you incorporate lessons like that to keep these kids?
You know, I had, funny you asked me that question just yesterday. I had one coach tell me, he goes, "Man, JM, I really think I found your strength when it comes to coach, player, and coaching." And I was like, "What's that?" He goes, "Man, you keep everybody humble." He goes, "You never let them get big-headed. You never like every single player." And I started laughing. And it's because I remember the Jada Thomases of the world, second leading goal scorer of University of Tennessee. I was hard on her because she had a bad attitude. And she was getting recruited by every club. But I was hard on her because I cared about her. It was like, I'm not letting you get away with that attitude, because I'm scared to lose you. Samantha Mesa, she was easily frustrated. There's times where body language on the field, and I had to get onto her. You're that talented, that special, but you're letting this attitude. And so one of the things that we basically go into, like Monday, this is going to be another thing that we do, I believe, next Monday. It's talk about moral skills, character skills, and performance skills. And some of the moral skills of being humble, trustworthy, all these things, it's a list. And we're letting them pick three or four of them that you want to improve. Not saying that you're not humble or you're not kind or you're not trustworthy, all these things. But pick 3 or 4 that you want to improve. Now, write a letter to yourself how you want to be remembered when you stop playing youth soccer, using those 4 things that you want to improve. So now it's like you're getting those letters. They don't read it to each other. I read it and I tell them, don't even put your name on it. I read it, and then later it becomes, I pick 2 or 3 of the best ones. And it's something that I look at and says, the social aspect, you need a team. If you're that and I'm the best, there's no, this is some this is one story where I told this one player, do you know that every single time you make a mistake, you pass the ball to the player and it's not on target, it's too fast, it goes out of bounds, whatever, you raise your hand and says, hey, my bad. But when your teammate does that, you start throwing your hands, hey, get it to my feet. How do you think that would make you feel if they did that to you? You're like, oh, my bad. And they're all scared of you because you're going to get in your feelings and you're going to get upset. You have a temper. How do you think they feel when you get onto them? And so when they're aware and you start talking about these things, that you're going to go to another environment and now you're not the big fish and you're going to basically try to do that, you're going to eventually, you're going to be like, man, we don't want to play with them. So just being aware and talking to them, I feel just you got to keep them humble, not feeling themselves, not thinking that they've accomplished anything, that hard work is going to pay off. And I always tell them the ones that are special, those are the ones that I'm going to push the hardest and get into their head more, because I really do think they have the special
qualities. Speaking of the special qualities and the ones that can make it to the next level, we've talked about your connections and trying to get players connected with the right people. Do you see the program, and going back to what I asked, trying to get there is you have the ages from 12 to 14 years old. Do you think you will be able to build a pathway with these athletes that come through to reach their goals? Not every player will make pro. I know it's like .03 kids will make it to a professional level. And I always want to know the stat of, okay, of that 0.03%, how many of them are giving it at all? How many of them are doing everything they can and have that tenacity and that grind and that grit to get to the next level? Do you, by letting kids into this program, you're opening the doors for them, as you talked about earlier, and this pathway, do you find that the kids that are coming in have that tenacity, that grit that you're looking for? And I know that you're not going to let anyone in. And like you said, you want quality over quantity. How are you doing to build this so we on the outside will see this pathway? We've talked about connections, like opening up your phone and just calling or texting whoever it may be to say, you want this, let's talk about it and how to get there. Right. But you have to have a pathway. You have to have a, if you want to call it a funnel, like you're funneling them through something into something else beyond the soccer. How are you going to build this so that it is year after year with however many students you have?
Yeah, I think once you get to the talent, the pathway and the funnel gets bigger, wider, that 0.0 whatever percent or 1%, you actually start looking and saying you have a lot of that 1%, because if you look at millions of kids that play the sport, and North Texas is a hotbed, there's a lot of talent there. And then it becomes, you've seen the level, you've seen the Samantha Mesas, Michelle Gonzalez, you've seen Jaden Shaw, you've seen Jaden Shaw played with our boys in academy, you've seen firsthand the discipline, the talent level, the commitment, the sacrifice. Yeah. Then you compare it and you're like, man, that's the next so-and-so. That player has this. So having the connections, the pathways, we look at saying, how do we educate the parents to say, okay, here's your profile. You're a dual citizen. If you do this, it takes a sacrifice, time, getting the birth certificates, going to the embassy, all this, but that's a pathway that's going to open doors. So it's educating them. I've had some parents that don't go through it. I feel, man, your kid would get called up. But they don't do it because maybe it was the ex-husband. The ex-husband doesn't want to go to the embassy, or the grandparents, or they don't want to go to the country to get original birth. Whatever it is, whatever obstacle it comes, they don't jump that. But our pathway is identify the players that have the talent, the potential, developing. And we feel that bringing in scouts that we trust to educate them on this is what you should be doing. We have players right now that have been offered. We have one player that's already been offered, and we're telling her, you're 13 years old. Why don't you wait until 2 years, create more value for yourself? Then at that point, you're more mature. Go to these tryouts. Go to that person, that other club. Because again, if you just go to the first one, you're giving up your rights. Now, they basically own your rights. They might sell you to somebody else, but forming rights and all these things, these FIFA. So it's just educating ourselves on it and then creating a pathway. But at the end of the day, we look at the gateway is their level. If they're the next so-and-so superstar, so we try to just say the opportunities are going to be endless. It's like Samantha Mesa when she first joined my O-1s. I remember she went to her first college visit, and it was TCU because it was local. They offered her a full ride, and the mom was like, the dad was like, I think we're going to take it. Samantha wants to stay home. She was like, no. She goes, but coach, this is a full ride. I said, trust me. The problem Sam's going to be is making a decision where she wants to go. So she went to USC, Notre Dame, Virginia, Clemson, and then North Carolina was her fifth and last official visit. And I told her, what I tell you, it's going to be harder for you to decide where you go. So the pathway, it's going to be harder for these kids to say, go to Liga MX or NWSL. From what I hear, they're creating a second tier league. Then you have USL. Do I go to NWSL? Do I go to USL? Then other countries, Portugal, Spain, England, they're creating, the sport is just exploding on the male and female sport side. So as long as you focus on your craft, on getting better, our job is to try to create pathways, connections to go get you tryouts. Go experience how a week looks in Portugal with Benfica Sporting. And if you're that talent, we might sign you. For us, we look at it and say, we know that we're going to have to create some things intentionally for our players, parents to see value of what they're doing, but we're not the gatekeepers and we don't try to tell them, if you join JMS, you're going to be a professional. All we're doing is, if you join JMS, we're going to do all our part to help you get there.
I think that is, it's a two-way street. And I think parents have to understand that the player has to have the commitment, the talent, the drive, yeah, the want. And I'm phrasing it this way on purpose because I feel too many parents today have the drive, the want, yeah, for their player. And it's not what the player wants to do. The players are just trying to make their parents happy or fill whatever void the parents have projected onto the player. And at the end of the day, it's how do we get these parents into these, what's the word I'm looking for, environment to help the players understand what they really truly need to do versus, yeah, what the parent wants. And so from the sounds of it, you're leaving it up to the player and trying to help the help navigate the parents to the right pathway. That being said, do you see what you're doing to be eventually expanding the scope of what you're doing from the academy to possibly being like some of the other programs that we have in the Metroplex, which are that focus on the education side and the soccer side? Or are you going to let the path go the way it's going and you'll pivot when you have to pivot when you hit that point?
Yeah, for me, I feel, my wife's a school teacher and I have friends that are school teachers and principals, and they've said, we could do this. Let's retire and open up a school. I said, y'all crazy. I said a million times I would never coach, and I accept the Lord and it became my call. I literally would say, I'm never going to open up a school. That's just too much work, too much red tape. I don't want to deal with that. That's just a big headache. I just want to focus on training and providing a professional training environment. So my intention is never to open up a school. Because again, if you look at it, it's like we have a Legions Academy, which that's our official training school, our official school for our ECNL teams. I walk in there. I was there last week. It's a great environment. It's great in-person learning, but I know the overhead, the cost. I know what it takes. It takes a lot of work. I look at now the education piece. Let's just say Allegiance Academy has top-notch education, which I do believe they do have. Is it top-notch like St. Mark's or Hockaday? Or I have no idea. So a parent might look at it as, I want my kid to be a doctor or this. Are they going to pick a school for the education? I don't want where, man, we love the training, but your education is not up to speed. It becomes to us is, if you're here at JMS Academy, it's purely for the education piece. The homeschool, that's on you. That's on you to decide what education level standard. That's not on us. And it keeps it more us focusing on just the school aspect.
Do you find that might deter to push parents away? Because at the end of the day, they want a whole package and... Yep. You're providing an environment where the athlete can do their schooling, but at the end of the day, it's the burdens on the family for the education and making sure it's getting done. I'm going to put this out there. The more I spend more time learning about homeschooling, just out of curiosity as a parent, the movement for homeschooling is growing drastically in this country. It's not as, what's what I'm looking for? Kids are not going to college because they're homeschooled. Just as many kids are going off to college that are homeschooled now, if not more than they were in the past. I can't give the exact numbers, yeah, but reading stats lately, it's not as a stigma for a college to pick up a homeschooler like it used to be.
Yeah, my kid, I have one twin that was online and she's doing well in college. The other went to private school and I've had players. So it's just the new way. Like, I don't think testing and education, it's up to each individual family. For me, yes, definitely online school eliminates some parents that are like, you don't have the education piece. I can't control that. Like, I can't be everything to I got to do what I feel we do best. And that's where we say quality over quantity. Would I want two or three players that are studs? Quality. But the parent wants the educational piece. That's at a very high standard. I don't want to mess with that, because I've learned too, it's no matter what the standard you think it's great, the parent standard might could be even greater and you can't satisfy the consumer. So I look at it as like, why even jump into that? So yes, I will lose players because I don't have the education piece, but I'm very comfortable in knowing that I'm not for everybody, or JMS Academy is not for everybody, just as Allegiance Academy is not for everybody. They have a standard, they have a way. And this market in North Texas with so many kids, there's a place for everybody. But for what I feel is we're going to focus on what we do best, and that is the training players holistically, making them focus on all five faces of the game.
With all we have talked about so far, what do you think is the most important message parents need to take away? Because we've covered a lot of ground, different topics all over the place. And I feel that we live in a society where there's a lot of information. And I feel if we can sum up what's the most important thing that parents need to understand, more on the soccer side than the education side, because education side is the homeschooling and that's the avenue for the parents to research. But for the soccer side and the being blended into this, what's the most important thing you think parents need to know?
For me, as a parent, I would just say is know your child, and genuinely, like, if that's their dream and you're willing to sacrifice with time and financial and all these things, it's something that now sports, it's a big, big avenue for careers that could jump into other careers. And having that platform, girls soccer, professional soccer wasn't around. Men's soccer wasn't around until 96 or 98, whatever year MLS.
96 before the MLS. That's when the inaugural season. Yeah. I know we started in the 90s with pro teams and indoor teams.
Right. Correct.
But
correct.
96 was the MLS. Yeah.
So nowadays, I would just tell the parent, if it comes from the player, that's their dream. That's their dream. It's well worth it. If it's your dream, you're wasting your time, because the player has to genuinely love to do this, to discipline, to wake up at a certain time, to have the eating habits, to study, all these things. So my thing is just know your child and what they really want to do. It's not your dream. It's their dream.
I think that's the hardest thing for parents to understand. Yeah. Too many of us live vicariously through our kids.
If it's your dream, no matter how much you send them, or if they don't fall in love with the sport and that's not their dream because they want to do something else, whether it's dancing or playing an instrument or being a doctor or lawyer or teacher or whatever, he goes, if it doesn't come from them, I've seen so many parents that try to run their race, like they want it so bad for them. And I think it's created all this, like keeping up with the Joneses and not getting left behind. I want my kid to be going to the ID centers, getting national call-ups. And I always tell this to the parents, if your child is not touching the ball just about every day, I'm not talking about training. I'm just talking about they just love the sport, that they want to touch the ball every single day. They want to master it. You know, they're not falling in love with it yet. So my advice is just to know your child, that it's their dream, that it's not your dream. And if it's their dream, I feel like going to public school, sitting in a classroom, getting home, going to practice, half asleep, no energy, I just don't think that will equate for you to get to the pro level, because the rest of the country's training. And I much evaluate a lot of things, what other countries are doing. My daughter had the privilege to be on the U13, U15 Mexico youth national team. So when she was 13 years old, they came in, they played in Dallas Girls International Cup. I met
several of those parents and the players that were on there. And these little girls were 12 and 13. And the parents were telling me that, because I asked them, how is it in Mexico to get identified? They're like, oh, she was playing with boys. She got identified. Now they're playing with. And I was like, well, how often do they train? They're like, 5 days a week. And I was just like, 5 days a week? Really? They play one game in a week. And he goes, how often do they do it? They say year round. So they basically told me that they only see their kid maybe 3 weeks out of the entire year. So it was a huge sacrifice that I was like, oh, there's no way I would let my child do that. But now I see their Instagram post. These kids are making easy six figures in the commercials. And then they're 20 years old and doing what they love doing. And I remember them when they were 12, 13 years old and seeing the sacrifices that they made. But had it been the parents' dream of that, and they'd be like, how many players would be like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to wake up no more. I don't want to run. So I always tell the parents there, just make sure it's your kid's dream.
That's important. And my favorite question to ask, because I've asked you this before, but I'm going to redirect it because we're on a different path right now. Who has been the greatest influence on you on starting JMS Academy?
I think you asked me that question as far as coaching, and I basically said role model was Pelé. You asked me that question. For me, it's not one player. It's not Samantha Mesa, it's not Jada Thomas or Michelle Marta Gonzalez or Carmen Lopez. I feel that it's all players that have reached their goals, that the messages that I've received from parents, you provided a full scholarship for my kid. I can't thank you enough. When a parent sends me the message their kid is playing pro, living out their dream, that's the most fulfilling. Coaching, competitive soccer, coaching ECNL at the highest level, you get a competitive, I want to win, I want to work hard, let's train extra to do this. I've won as a coach, players, the Surf Cups, the Super Copas, the National Leagues, the Iber Cups. Those aren't fulfilling, in my opinion. They're excited. You win. The next day is, okay, how do we repeat? How do we get better? But a player reaching their goal and you feeling like you were part of it and they're grateful for it is the most fulfilling thing for me. And that's the real inspiration behind starting JMS. The waking up early to be here, staying here all day, mentoring, doing the planning sessions. It's a lot of work. But what inspired me is all the players that have entrusted me, that have allowed me to be part of their journey and them fulfilling, because they do all the work. They do all the work, all the sacrifice. That's been the most inspiring is the players.
Hey, everyone. I hope you all enjoyed this week's episode with Juan. This two-part series, we really covered a lot of information and we could have covered so much more, but time is something we have to keep track of, and our conversation was great. What he's doing for our soccer community is phenomenal. Starting this new program and making sure it's about quality over quantity and making sure that the players are getting the attention they need to be successful on the pitch and off the pitch. There is so much that this program covers that we didn't even cover yet, and there's so much more you should go check out about him. And if this is something that you're truly interested in, go check him out. But the most important message that he shared, I felt at the end of the day, make sure it's your athlete's dream and not your dream. We tend to live vicariously through our kids and it kind of corrupts the fun of it all. So if that's something that you're thinking about, make sure that this is something your athlete truly wants to do, because it's a huge commitment and you're giving up a lot for your athlete. They're losing the social side of school, and that's sometimes part of the dream, is making them realize that it's bigger than what they're doing. And it has to be driven by the athlete and not us as parents.
Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.